हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 133, chapter 27, Lord Krishna's instructions on the process of deity worship. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. First, the deity's teeth should be cleansed and his body massaged with fragrant oil and rubbed with vermilion, camphor powder, and so on. Right? Because you put the oil, and so then it does its job of the massage and creating oil, but then there's extra on the skin, so then the vermilion, camphor powder, and that, whatever, all those kind of powders, by rubbing with that, that takes off the excess on the outside. That's the advantage, because like with soap, you put oil and then you put the soap, it kind of, whatever oil got in the soap takes it out. But this, it just rubs off what's extra on the top. What's inside the skin, it will leave there. That's the advantage of these things. So that's the culture, right?
Maharaj,
It
says soap. So can we use even Gopi Chandan powder? Because that is also some devotees use that.
So forth, the Gopi Chandan. Well, that'll be for if you're polishing or not. Gopi Chandan's used with the lemon and like that. But otherwise, then it's like Urdal powder or these kind of things. Banana flower powder, things, you know, these depends upon. For the deity, you can use the higher end stuff. For us, then the volume is too great, so therefore you just use, you know, Mung Dal powder or Urdal powder like that. Or chickpea flour. That's standard go-to, yeah. Right, because the idea is that the oil shouldn't be there once it goes, once you finish, right? You can't have it there once you finish. Shouldn't be oily. Next, one should offer, okay. Then he should be bathed with fragrant water and the five kinds of nectar. Right, so Panchamrita. Next, one should offer valuable silk garments and jeweled ornaments to the deity, smear his body with sandalwood paste, and offer him garlands and other gifts. After this, one should hold a mirror in front of the deity and then offer fragrant oil, flowers, incense, lamps, and scented water for refreshing the mouth. Right, so then there's everything connected with the bath. Then having had the bath, then it's all the dressing. Then showing him how, you know, everything looks and all that with the mirror. Then it's all the nice things that are outside of that. The oils, the lamps, the, you know, flowers, the garlands, all those kind of things. One should offer all types of palatable foods, right? So scented water for refreshing the mouth, because before he eats, then you offer the water, so the argya. So that's why you put the camphor powder, not camphor, clove powder and other things it mentioned, so this refreshes the mouth before eating. One should offer all types of palatable foods, fragrant water, betel nuts, garlands, arctic lamps, a bed to rest on, and so on. Right? So then just finishing the list that's there. Then after that, then he takes some rest. Right? Mm-hmm. One should also fan the deity and perform instrumental music, singing, and dancing. This deity worship must be performed on special occasions like religious holidays, or else, if one can afford it, daily. Right? So the big things like this, then you do on these special occasions. Mm-hmm. And if you can, then you do it on a daily basis. So the big temples and that, they'll do all this on a daily basis. Yes. And in your home, you may do this at a special occasion like that. Otherwise, you do whatever is your simple worship they do on a daily basis. And then on a special occasion, you try to do something more like that. Sri Krishna continued. Or you do yours simple and then go and take part in these things at the temple.
Yes.
Like
yes.
that. Yes. You know, in some ways that on a festival day, more is offered to Krishna. There's special facilities. So whether you're doing it with your worship, whether you're doing it with the main, you know, the main worship, the temple worship. Yes.
When it is always said that Krishna is resting after, you know, prasadam like that. Yeah?
Yes.
So what is... Is it some indication that the living entity we are supposed to rest also?
I see.
Can I take a nap?
Yeah. But following nap. This logic, then when we get to the Rasa dance, so then we go, so does this indicate that the living entity is supposed to go out and party all night? You know, like that. And, you know, as long as we get up in the Brahma Muhurta.
No, actually, this is one of my questions since a few years, actually.
There is the aspect of resting, because resting after eating increases the bile in the body.
Yes.
And so as long as you don't have excess bile, then that's okay. But it just means it's for a short time.
Yes.
It's not that 3 hours or something.
Because
Krishna, these things, generally he turns over these pastimes, these aspects, like in 20-minute cycles. So whenever he's going on things, then there'll be one thing, and then they'll change. Like when you see the pastimes are going through so many things, they'll do one thing for like 20 minutes, then they go on to the next, then on to the next. So the resting will just be for a short time. Unless it's after lunch, then you see we have until they'll rest at, you know, whatever it is, you know, 1 o'clock or that. You'll wake them up before, so our ticket four, like that. So that's a bigger rest. After breakfast, generally it's either if you don't, you know, you don't necessarily do, but the Pariyanka-san is offered. So even though they may be on the altar, but you're offering it as the asan for relaxing. So in other words, it's not a formal asan.
Yes.
The darshan is not a formal. It means we'll offer him like that.
Yes.
We'll deal formally, but it's not. But also you have if you're doing the big worship in the temples, the main deity is giving darshan, but the small deities will go off and take rest.
Yes.
Right? Because you say you carry him a palanquin, and like he'll go to one room for bathing, then they'll go to another room for the rest, then they'll go to another for the eating, and like this. So. You know, there's always, he's being carried, and there's always the festival. So in the Pancharatrik worship, then they're busy all day taking care of all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out nice. But in the home, then, you know, a little, it's more simple. But these are the principles that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada would take rest half hour after breakfast, half hour after lunch.
Yes.
Like that. Mm-hmm. But he'd also only to sleep 3 hours at night, so. You know. Yeah, so it's just, you know, you work it out. You know.
Okay.
However you want to divide up your 4 hours, right?
But he also said that it requires practice.
It requires practice. Oh, so you say, no, so you practice your half an hour naps.
In 3 hours.
Huh?
In 3 hours also.
Yeah. No, that all, yeah. But you know, so it is time to rest. How the different times when you eat your full meal at noon, you know, the lighter at breakfast and in the evening, like that, fruit in the afternoon. These are standard Ayurvedic things, so they're proper. So how much they are supportive of you and doing your service and all that, then if they can be done, it's done. But the more times they're eating less every time. You know. Like Prabhupada, when they went to that first program, I think it was 71 or 70, they went to Gujarat, took all the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
They did programs, they went throughout India, and they did big. In Surat, you have those pictures and that. Then they would be invited to like 6 different houses.
Yes.
And so the devotees didn't know. They said, you probably just take a little bit, then you do the little program, then you go to the next house. So every few hours, you're going to the next house.
Yes.
But after a couple of houses, they always couldn't eat anymore, right? Because they were eating so much. See, it's like you get a samosa, eat one or two, like that, not 10. You know? Then you come, they give you some paratha or something like that. You know, you eat one, like that. No, but the boys are just, you know, full, you know, like that. And so then they didn't last. But Prabhupada could go through all those because he's just eating a little bit. So yeah, it takes practice to be able to. If you're going to eat more often, which is good, then you eat less, like that. You're not increasing the volume of what you're eating, but it's just it all matches the Ayurveda and all that. So Krishna's lifestyle is the natural lifestyle. Therefore, how the universe is created matches that lifestyle, right? Because if you take rest at that time, then you get a particular benefit. At another time, you won't. Does that make sense? So you have to. So that's the point. The universe is created, it's coming from Krishna, therefore it has all the nature like Krishna, so it matches his lifestyle. That's why then the Shastra explains that lifestyle. Right? That's the natural Vedic lifestyle. Right? Now, we can choose to accept the principles of this or not. That's up to our particular liking. But we have, it has to be understood that these were the recommended, these are the human recommendations. You know, if we prefer, the whatever it is, some other animal, lifestyle, we can do that. But the point is this is what's recommended for humans. And to follow it just because it's good and it's good for the health and all that, that'll be materialistic. It'll be mode of goodness, you're following Shastra and it's supportive of your devotional service. But you have to see if there's too much emphasis on the health aspects, then it becomes, you get a bit on the bodily platform. Point is we're following simply because it is what Shastra recommends. So we're doing it because this is what it says, not because I want that benefit. You know what I'm saying? So, just like here, you're doing this because it's service to Krishna. But then you'll also may have, where it says, oh, if you give bath to the Lord, then you'll get this. If you do this, you'll get those. Like that. So some will do it for that. The devotees do it just because it pleases Krishna. So therefore, in the lifestyle, what it fits in with their service, and according to Shastra, then they follow. But to put too much emphasis on it, then that's not important. Because as is pointed out, the body will be finished today or tomorrow anyway. You follow a few of these things, maybe it'll last a little longer, but if you're not Krishna conscious, what's the point? Does that make sense? So there has to be that balance. Otherwise, it's all or nothing. It's like someone either doesn't care about their diet and what they eat and the health, or they totally care about it. You don't really have that in between where they're just intelligent and careful. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole idea. Does that make sense? Maybe when you get older you figure it out, but the point is health freaks aren't older. They're generally younger. Right? Unless they started younger, like that, and now they're 80 years old, and that's why they're still moving around, because they're, like that. But does that make sense? So when it becomes a thing, it becomes an identity, then it's a problem. It has to be, I'm servant of Krishna, I'm doing these things to please Krishna. And it helps in one's service.
Right? Okay. Regarding bathing the deities, it mentions the five kinds of nectar.
Yes.
Panchamrita. So some devotees are of the opinion that all the five can be mixed and, we can bathe it, or it should be in sequence, one after another.
Okay, so let us say I take the paratha, I take some aloo, sabji, I take some raita, right? I take some achar and all that, and I put it all on the plate nicely like that, and give it to you. Right? What do you call that?
Lunch.
Okay. What would you call
Alu
it?
Alu paratha?
Alu paratha, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, so lunch is a breakfast, just like that. But if I take all those things, rip the paratha up, put all the things, put it in the thing, put the yogurt on the top, put all the different chutneys and all that. Now what do you call it?
Got it.
Yeah, so this whole idea is like that. Why don't they do that for their daughter's marriage? Just mix it all together. I mean, that's what they're going to do after the marriage anyway, right? Right? Anyone here from South, right? After they finish the wedding, all the things are left, right? So much food. The cooks, they get a huge pot, put a bunch of ghee in there, throw in a ridiculous amount of chilies, cook them up, right? Then throw everything that's there in there. I mean everything. Salty, sweets, you name it. It all goes in that pot. And then they just cook it and cook it and cook it till it goes down to this like solid kind of mush. Right? And with tons of ghee in it. And I haven't had it, but I've been told that it's supposed to be really nice. And there's a specific name for it. Right, so only the cooks and the family, immediate family, they only get this. The others don't get this. Guests don't get it. Right? So why not just serve that? Because it's so nice at the wedding. You know what I'm saying? All this being practical. Yeah. Why doesn't he have his conference call while he's taking his shower also? You know? Or even better, sitting on the toilet. Right? You know, not waste time. You know, of course, it may work out if you're having a conference with other people who are deaf and you're signing and all that. You understand? So these whole things, they come up with these fabulous ideas that sound so great if you have no culture. But if you have culture, why would you do that? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole thing. Sri Krishna continued, in an arena constructed according to scriptural injunctions, the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice, utilizing the sacred belt, the sacred pit, and the altar mound. Then, lighting the sacrificial fire, the devotee should bring it to a blaze with wood piled up by his own hands. Right? After spreading kusagras, so in other words, for this kind of thing in the pujas, you do it yourself. You don't have the servants do it. After spreading kusa grass on the ground and sprinkling it with water, one should perform the anvadhana ritual according to prescribed rules. Then one should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and should sanctify them with water from the sprinkling vessel. Right, that pot that's always there next to the priest, that's the sprinkling vessel. Right? The worshiper should next meditate upon me within the fire. The intelligent devotee should meditate upon that form of the Lord whose color is like molten gold, whose four arms are resplendent with the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and who is always peaceful and dressed in a garment colored like the filaments of within a lotus flower. His helmet, bracelet, belt, and fine arm ornament shine brilliantly. The symbol of Srivatsa is on his chest, along with the glowing Kastuba gem and a garland of forest flowers. The devotee should then worship that Lord by taking pieces of firewood soaked in the sacrificial ghee and throwing them into the fire. He should perform the ritual of aghara, presenting into the fire the various items of oblations drenched in ghee. He should then offer the 16 demigods, beginning with Yamaraj, the oblation called Svistikrit, reciting the basic mantras of each deity and the 16-line Purushashukta hymn, pouring one oblation after each line of the Purushashukta. He should utter a particular mantra naming each deity. Having thus worshipped the Lord in the sacrificial fire, the devotee should offer his obeisance to the Lord's personal associates by bowing down and then should present offerings to them. Okay, so then we finish that one. So in this, see here is that whatever is the, this is the generic thing because all the rituals that do this, but depending upon your particular Veda, your particular line within that Veda and all that, then there'll be some differences there. That's why it's just you understand. If you do fire yagyas, then you understand what's happening here. Yes. And then you'll just do it according to your specific line. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave us, so we do it according to Samaveda. Mm-hmm. So we see in here, he says, you meditate upon the deity in the fire. Notice he mentioned the Vishnu form. Right? So as long as you're worshipping Vishnu form, you can meditate on him in the fire, install him in the fire. But if you're worshipping Radha and Krishna, you don't install them in the fire. So in our system, we install the specific fire that carries the oblations to Radha and Krishna. Right? So that's the difference there. Is in the Pancharatrik system, then you're going to install Vishnu in the fire. But in the Vedic system that we're using, then we don't do that. He just carries it to the particular person. So for some, then they get bewildered why we're not putting Krishna in the fire. That's because we don't want him in the fire. We want the fire to carry him the oblations. Right? Does that make sense? And it's not a problem. It's not that, oh, but it'll be quicker if he's right there. No, we're not worried about those elements of efficiency.
So there are different kinds of fire.
Sorry?
There are different kinds of fire.
Yes, there's 18 kinds of fire. So 16 you use for the worship. Okay. Yes.
Is there a difference between the Vaishnava Homa and the different fire?
Yes, each different fire you're doing has a different. Like the samskaras, each have their different fires, like that. And then there's the general, you have Vaishnava Agni, like that, Vidu Agnis for the end of the yajna when you do the Vaishnava Homa. So you have these different. If that's the main one, then that'll be done during Vaishnava Agni. But otherwise, you have specific names for the different samskaras that you're doing, the specific rites that you're doing. Then you invoke that specific fire. So for us, we put more on in calling that fire, and then that fire will carry. There's a mantra that says, "You please carry the offerings." And so we're happy with that, because the Vedic actually matches more with Braj, the Pancharatra more with Vaikuntha. But we live a Pancharatric lifestyle because it has that formalization, because we're following Vaidhi Bhakti. But the attitude then is more towards the Rag. Right? That's why you see the lifestyle Prabhupada gave us is not, the emphasis is not on the Vaidhi, it's basically more on the Paramahamsa aspect of just being fully absorbed in the Lord. That of pure devotion. Right? So then one has to see what the acharyas give, and taking that, then you try to establish the lifestyle. Does that make sense? Because just in case, you have, as time goes, because very few get involved in these yajnas, but as time goes, more and more are taking it up, more from, you know, the Shris. Somehow they don't even catch the Madhvas. The Madhvas are closer to us. They use more tantra. Well, the Shris can't understand that. You know, it's very nice, and it's very, very nicely done. You know, you're taking them first, the Buddhists, then you're making it to Shankarites, then the Shankarites, then you're making it to Vaishnavas. So it has to be very formal. So the Shris is very formal. Madhvas is less formal. Like that. We're less than that. So then it's just a matter of appreciating how it's going, because we see in Vrindavan that Nanda Maharaj is always having these big festivals, but it's all with the Vedic Brahmins and all that. So it matches more nicely, because then Krishna can be Krishna, and at the same time you can do all the worship and festivals.
Yes.
Otherwise, in Vaikuntha, he'd be sitting there, and then you'd have the fire sacrifice and offering everything to him right there. It'd be very formal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, but with Braj, you can have the fire sacrifice, and Krishna's there, and you know, it's a whole different flavor. You know, that Krishna says, yes, and then you worship the Lord in the heart and meditate on Him. Krishna's saying that. You know, so that's the fun part. So, yeah, so therefore Gopal Bhakti Goswami has given us that. You can also use a more simplified form. The point is that these things are gone through. The Lord is worshipped. The offerings are made to Him. You build the fire. You bring it to blazing, because if there's not blazing, then you don't actually get a proper fire, because the flames are where you're offering it. The flames are the tongue, right? The coals are His eyes. So if it's just small and like that, then you're offering into the coals, to His eyes. And if you work offering on the wood, because it's not burning, that's the ears, right? But it's all going to Krishna. But, you know, the tongue's considered the best. So that's why it must be brought to a blaze. Okay, and then here we're seeing the Purusha Shukta. That's the main yajna, what is being used in the worship of the deity. Just like in Shaligram, then the Purusha Shukta is the main thing that's being used. And then from that, that being used in that main form, then we see here even the fire sacrifice, then it's coming out also in that aspect. So in the fire sacrifice, then you're also offering with Purusha Shukta, and that's being offered to through those demigods. Because remember, those names of the demigods, as Madhvacharya points out, it's not actually the demigods. They're just different aspects of Krishna and His creation and all that. So we have Oh, you got it. Okay. Yeah, I noticed it went down during the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The break.
Yeah, here I was warm over. Okay. Got a cough. Yeah, you know, so then, you know, then afterwards.
So now it seems here that the main thing is the meditation of the Lord.
Main thing is this offer to the Lord. Because to those that 16, the Purusha Shukta means it's about the Lord. Purusha Shukta is defining the primary creation. See, that's why it's always coming up so much, and everybody gets into this creation, because that's the basis of everything. What happens in the secondary, you know, may work out nice or not. But in the primary, you're dealing with the original forms. So philosophies generally, the Vedic, will all go back to the primary. Now from the primary, whether they'll go back to Krishna, that makes a difference. The Vaishnavas will go back and the other six schools won't.
Yes.
So in here, then you're offering to these deities, then those who are devotees know that they're Krishna.
Yes.
Those who don't know, but they're just doing it, then they'll think it's the demigods.
Yes.
But in any case, the potency of those demigods is Krishna, so indirectly they're worshipping Krishna, though the Vaishnavas will directly worship.
Yes.
And then for us, we don't really don't worry about the demigods, we'll just directly do things connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? But if you're dealing in a mixed environment, then, you know, like for us, that's what's so unique is that everybody's devotees.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, in like one devotee was telling me, Shri's, their family was Pujaris. The father was the head Pujari, and he was there. And he said it wasn't until he was 30 that he actually developed faith that the deity is the Lord. So that means from whenever he had Upanayanam and he was taking part in that, so that means for, you know, 20 or more years, he just thought it was, you know, just he was just, it was just rituals. But it wasn't until he was 30 then he understood this is Krishna. Like that. And this is Vaishnav family, Vaishnav community, all Sri, you know, like this. So that's the whole point, is that when you have these like this, then it works for those who are in that mix. But Prabhupada didn't give us that lifestyle because, one, you have to be so, you have to be in the mode of goodness, you know, born in the mode of goodness to follow it to that detail. But at the same time, as you can get distracted. Well, then, you know, then nicely here, it's just like this one Sri Vaishnava family, they have a big, huge, big house, and it's got two parts to the house. One part is the one where they live, and it's quite big. You know, they've got a huge hall and the kitchen and upstairs and all this. Then in the next one, it's a little smaller. But that in that room, they do their daily yajna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every day they do the yajna there. And if there's special yajnas, they'll also do there and that. And then next to the yajna, they have a table there, and on that it has some deities.
Mm-hmm.
Not many, just a few very small deities and all that. This yajna then, I mean, this place then happens to be when Lord Chaitanya was at Sri Rangam and stayed at, I think, Venkatabhata's house. He stayed in that part of the house. So that seemed to be more the guest kind of facility and stuff like that. And that yajna was there, and the deities that were there, Lord Chaitanya used to worship every day. Right? So now for us, how would we consider this place? We'd do it up, right? Like that. But this Pujari, his relatives that aren't there, you know, that aren't so directly connected, they're saying if we can take that place or sell it or do this, we can do so many things with it. To them, it doesn't even matter that Lord Chaitanya stayed there. Right? You know, they can say, yeah, okay, we can do the yajna somewhere else, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is even though you have the devotional environment, you can get distracted by all the benefits you get from the Vedic culture. Right? So one has to be very, very careful. That's why only how much is necessary we use. That doesn't mean that, oh, so it's safer to take part in the Western culture, because that's just a disaster from the beginning. Right? You know, that's just means disaster. The other one is pious, because people are looking for material facility. So the Vedic culture gives it. But it can't be about that, because the body's going to end. So all these relations will end. So if you emphasize that too much, you get distracted. Right? So Prabhupada's given us just the pure devotion, and how much of the Vedic culture, the Pancharatra, the Bhagavat, that supports it, he's given us that much. And more than that's not necessary. He's indicated. So he wanted us to do the worship with the Purusha Shukta. He's given those things, the standards of cleanliness he gives. Then it's quite high. You know, so the essential points are quite well done. But the technical, elaborate ritual, that has been kept simple. So what the acharyas give us, that's all the more we do. For us, it'll seem very elaborate, but it's less than what others will do.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? In the way of getting off into detail, demigods and this and that, we won't. So Shris will avoid them, of course. The Madhvas, they don't have a problem with them, because they know that they're Krishna.
So the principle is bringing us closer to Krishna.
Yes, principle is bringing us closer to Krishna. Then on our daily puja, you'll generally see that's more elaborate than what they do. Their festivals are bigger than ours. But our daily is actually more elaborate. You know, it's simple, but it's elaborate. Yes.
So Maharaja Mahayagya Gurukul, compared to the other sampradayas, is it elaborate or it's simple?
I would be full of what they're doing. If they're doing a daily yagya, it would be the same. Just as Samaveda, while they would be using their particular Veda. Like, I mean, now most of the days, I mean, unless it's an old temple that are using Hayashirsha or something, they would probably be using Padma or that. But I'd say that when we do the full yagya, it's basically how much they would be doing, comparable. Like that. Okay. And then let's say our evening yagya, we do a simpler form. That would be probably more simple than what they would be doing. Now, whether they have a simple form, I haven't seen that, because I've only gone to the formal one. But, you know, yeah. Okay, so that what we did is we brought it up to the point where you've finished all through the bhojanam, right? Means you offer the prasad to the deities and the deity has taken rest. So that finishes the 15 items, right? You have 16 items of worship, that's the main. And then repetition of that and variations of that gives you the 64. So now he's taken it up to the 15th. So that means the preliminaries were done before the yoga. Then, you know, all the, you know, purifying everything, the manasa pujas and all that. Then you've gotten into the main worship, the 16. Then we've gotten through the 15. Right? Now the 16th item is technically the conclusion of the puja. So in other words, that conclusion has to be part of the puja. So then worshiping here, you know, in a bigger area that, you know, then through yagya, you can be worshipped. That's part of the daily worship. Then you see is then the next thing. Having thus worshipped the Lord in the sacrificial fire, the devotee should offer his obeisance to the Lord's personal associates by bowing down and then should present offerings to them. So that's the next thing, is that you're worshipping the Lord's associates, right? His associates, his paraphernalia, you know, whatever is, you know, one's tradition. In one's line.
So this is the conclusion?
This is the 16th item. Yes. Which it means it's concluding the puja. It means you've done up and worshipped him completely.
Yes.
Now it's the worship of him's not complete without the devotees.
Yes.
Just like when you offer the artik.
Yes.
You're doing all three aspects.
Yes.
It may not be appreciated. We'll think it's one thing, but it's actually three parts. There's the preliminary, or the yoga, where I purify the lamp, I pick it up, I show it to the acharyas, the lines up through Lord Chaitanya and that.
Yes.
Like that. That's all preliminary.
Yes.
That's yoga.
Yes.
Then when I get to Krishna, now we're starting the puja.
Yes.
Proper.
Yes.
That's the ija.
Yes.
Now I'm offering it to Krishna.
Yes.
And then if you're Radha Krishna, then, you know, to them, like this, or Jagannath, you know, like this, the main deities. Then I'm going to finish with them. Then I'm going to go into this 16th item.
Yes, indeed.
Right? This conclusion. Then I'm going to show it to, you know, Tulsi and the Shinga, go down the Parampara, show it to the devotees,
yes.
You know, Prabhupada, the devotees, you know, like this.
Yes.
So that's all part, because worshipping Krishna, it's not complete unless you also include the devotees.
Yes.
So Lord, in the Kapila Gita, then he explains that you can worship him. And that's nice, but Krishna is not satisfied unless you respect all living entities. So if you're nice to him but not nice to the devotees, then Krishna is not very happy. So the puja has these three parts. Everything has these three parts. It's just that it's formalized in here. Does that make sense?
It's a similar principle that you wouldn't depict Krishna alone.
Right? Yeah, you know, you wouldn't have him in a cloud and an om sign and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because what's the point?
Yeah.
Because Krishna means. Because if you just have him alone like that, then you, who, what form of Krishna is just on his own?
Paramatma.
But Bhagavan means he's with the devotees.
Yes.
So since we're devotees of Bhagavan, we don't do that. As our devotees of Paramatma or Brahman, they might do that. You know, because it's all about the shanti and the, mm-hmm. the grand, the, you know, the greatness or the, like that. You know, so nice. But they're all secondary qualities. We're interested in the primary.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So then you'll see in this is that the puja includes these three. It always, everything, even when it cook. You have to do the preliminaries, you know, make your menu, go to do the marketing, set up the kitchen, prepare the vegetables, wash all the pots, see that everything's ready. Then you actually start putting things into the pot on the fire. That's the cooking. Then when you finish the cooking, now you're going to have to make arrangements for the servings and all that, then cleaning the kitchen, you know, and everything, so it's back to normal. So it always, everything has three parts. Right? Even if you take one of those, it's going to have three parts. Right? I'm going to cut the vegetables. I have to get everything ready. Then I cut the vegetables. It's the second part. Then I have to clean up. It's the third. Right? Not that I only give attention to the vegetable. I also have to give proper attention to the peels. Right? They have to go into the bin, you know, or go to the cow, or, you know, whatever I'm doing with them, or put it in the blender and make my smoothie out of it, you know, depending upon what, if I'm ninth Dan, you know, health food freak or not, you know, like that, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Okay, so then the yajna is there, then worshipping the devotees. Then he should chant quietly the Mula Mantra of the Lord, remembering the absolute truth as the Supreme Personality in Narayana. So Mula Mantra, Gayatri Mantras, like that, like a lot of times in the puja, at a certain point, they'll sit down and chant their Gayatri. Because it's part of this conclusionary aspects of the puja. Once again, he should offer the deity water for washing his mouth, and should give the remnants of the Lord's food to Vishvakshena. So all this is going on, the Lord's eating. Because you see, we just do these, you know, 15 minutes, we go on the altar, set up, do the offering, remove the thing and clean up, so it all happens in 15 minutes. Like you see in Vrindavan, in the old temples, it takes an hour. Right? They go in and start, and then for 1 hour the deities are closed. So for that you get more darshan, like in Puri, therefore we do the shorter aspect. Because for Krishna there's no time and space, so it works for him. And it also works for us. Who wants to sit around for an hour, right? Right? Does that make sense? Now, how many people would come to the temple to take part and do an offering if it takes 15 minutes? How many would come if it's 1 hour? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, so, you know, Prabhupada's smart. Yeah. So during that time, all these other things can go on. You know, either the same person can do, or there's different pujaris doing different aspects. That makes sense. Yeah. Then you're washing his mouth, and present. Then having done that, now the remnants of his food, then they go to the devotees. That's also part of the offering. Right? Lord's food, give the remnants of the Lord's food to Vishvakshena, right? Because he's like the head of the devotees.
Okay.
No, I think we have Purnimasi, and then, you know, all the list of the devotees after that. Right? Some say, why Purnimasi, not before Radharani? Because she's senior. Right? If you want to get into Tattva, hey, you're on the wrong planet. Goloka is not as much about Tattva, like that. Or if you want to add the Tattva in with your sweetness, that's called Dwarka, like that. But if you're talking about Vrindavan, then it's Purnimasi first. She's the oldest. Right? Then he should present the deity with fragrant perfume for the mouth and prepared betel nut. Right. So then you have the Mukavasha. Means nice things that you chew,
yes,
to refresh it, to freshen the mouth after eating, and it's also good for the, you know, digestion, all these kind of things. And then there's the betel nut. So the mukavasha is one thing, and then the tambulam, the betel nut's another thing. So they're two different things. Singing along with others, chanting loudly and dancing, acting out my transcendental pastimes, and hearing and telling stories about me. The devotee should for some time absorb himself in such festivity. Right, so then having prepared everything, now it's time for kirtan and discussions and all those kind of aspects like that. Like you see, we have the puja in the morning, then what do? We do kirtan, we have the class, we have the dance, like that. So you see, it's just in line. We'll just say, oh, it's just an ordinary thing. But there is no pancharatric program as pancharatric and complete as what Srila Prabhupada gave. It's beyond what the Shris, Madhvas, anybody else does. Literally. There's nothing left out, but it's done so nicely and sweetly that we'll just think it's just an ordinary thing and all these other guys have what's happening. It doesn't come as close. They will not accomplish as many aspects of devotional service, you know, from getting up in the morning up to breakfast. You all the technical points, they're all there. That makes sense. That's the whole thing. It's so nicely there. Just we don't catch that. But it's all there. Everything's there.
If one would like to know more in detail how that works,
means
is there like anywhere written in Prabhupada's books where he goes through this program?
I mean, you see when Lord Chaitanya speaks to Sanatana Goswami,
right?
Like that, and that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, probably gives points. You just have to put it all together.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When understands the context of the Pancharatra, you see it's already there. Right, because in Swadhyaya means it's the concluding activities. Because after within the puja you have concluding activities, but for the whole thing of being involved in puja, there's the concluding activities of then worshiping, offering respects to the devotees, to taking care of guests, worshiping tulsi, honoring prasad, chanting japa. How you say, respecting and worshiping the dham. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's seven aspects there. They're all included in our morning program.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So the complete what you do and take a whole day for others to do, Prabhupada will accomplish by 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? Now if you want to speed it up you can. Like in New Vrindavan they would have it all done by 6:30 because you know you gotta get out in the fields and start plowing. But they started at 2, you know, like that. They get up, chant all the rounds before Mangalarti, then Mangalarti, Nishinga prayers, then Tulsi Arti. Then class, then guru puja, then darshan, the deities, then prasad. Now, so, you know, they get everything in, they just move it up a little bit. You know, not a bad program. Prasad's at 6, right? In the morning. Yeah. But at 6:30, you're in the fields. So you'll be back after 10, 12 hours. Yeah. So you might, you know. Yeah. Whether now you consider it so good, but that's the program. So Prabhupada's program is so complete. Like that. That's the thing. Then, devotees should offer homage to the Lord with all kinds of hymns and prayers, both from the Puranas and from other ancient scriptures, and also from ordinary traditions. Right? So you have both. You have what the great personalities have offered, and then what you have, what yourself you appreciate, and what you know others around with their... Like that, you know, just leave out the one about the Mercedes Benz or the motorcycle, like that one, yeah. Though it is, you know, local tradition. Yeah, and then praying, O Lord, please be merciful to me. You should fall down flat like a rod and offer his obeisances.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki